Moger calls a halt, acting on the advice of the physician at ringside. It ends after 10 rounds, the winner by TKO victory. And still, WBA super welterweight champion of the world, El Boricua de Puerto Rico, Miguel Angel.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Welcome back. Socially Connected 360, back in the house, boxing series with the one and only, my co-host, Hurricane, Irving Hurricane Torres. We're here. We're excited. Like I said, we're going to come back. Like we said, we're going to come back every, you know, now and again, maybe every week if there's some big fights, do some recaps, probably do some predictions. Obviously, today we'll do some recaps and predictions. But like we said, we're going to bring this to you because we love boxing. My man, Irving, how you been, man? How's everything going?
Doing pretty good. How about yourself? Did you enjoy those fights last weekend?
Yeah, man, we're going to get into that, man. That was a perfect start to a very, very, very powerful boxing summer, because it's coming, people. It's coming. If you're a casual boxing fan, please, please just go on Google and look up the boxing schedule that's coming up. How did you enjoy them?
They were good. They were exciting. And I'm glad that we were able to get some good fights in. But before we go on, I saw that you're doing this dedication retirement run. What's up, man? You couldn't have done a party. You could have done a party or something like that, but you're doing 5Ks every day. What's going on with that?
Yeah, so I knew you were gonna mention that, because you know, in boxing, it's like a lot of running. You know, you see Cotto, every time I'm running, I'm like, I picture Cotto running, I picture Trinidad, De La Hoya, all these guys are Mayweather. Like, you hear the music, HBO's doing their little segue. So running and boxing is, you know, synonymous. Like, it's together, right? A lot of great fighters, they use it for stamina. It's just, and it's also willpower, right? Willpower, like, how far can you go? How long can you go? So, yes, this retirement run, just to break it down real quickly, so I ran into the Navy, right? When you join the Navy or join the military, you have to do PT tests. You have to run every day in boot camp. I was running at 20, 21 years old. I was running like an 850 mile and a half. And I ran through those 20 years, man. And so I want to show people, and it's not just me. There's a lot of people who are still in great shape after retirement. I want to show people, man, after 20 years, I'm still running. And I'm going to continue to run. And it's important that we challenge ourselves, right? And we talked about it all the time. You know, you got to challenge yourself, just like in boxing, right? You got to challenge yourself. You got to do 15 rounds sparring. You got to get in the gym twice a day. You got to get in there and you got to spar. I mean, I talk to sparrers to boxers all the time about sparring, man. Sparring is sometimes even harder than the actual fight. Mm-hmm. So I challenged myself to do this 100 miles in 1 month, 3.2 miles a day. I'm on day two for the next 28 days. I'm retiring this year from the world's strongest Navy. So yeah, man, it's just about that, man. It's just trying to run into the Navy and run out, man, to keep it as simple as that. And obviously to challenge myself and share with everybody, you know, the fact that I'm still strong. I'm ready to go, man.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, man.
I'm sure that you wouldn't have a problem with it. I've seen you accomplish many things, and I'm sure this is just something easy, you know.
Yeah, no, I mean, running, I normally, I run 2 miles, I run a mile and a half, I run about maybe 3 or 4 5Ks, and I recently just started running this year again. Like, I'm up to 233 miles road this year, yeah. So last year, just to give you perspective, I only ran 60 miles. So, is it 60 miles? Hold on. Yeah. But just to give you that perspective, I'm really enjoying this. Like, I wake up and I'm just ready to rock, man. I'm ready to dominate.
That's why I say it. That's why I say it, because I see that you enjoy running. And you post your daily videos up running. So I'm like, man, this is becoming normal, man. This is natural, you know. It's just doing it, you know, waking up early morning, going for, you know, for 5K. I'm just like, man, I wish I was that motivated to
well
to
you run. Know what, man, I might get in that ring. I don't know, I'm doing everything boxers do, like, oh, except for sparring and doing all that stuff, you know, when they try to work the abs and all that stuff. But I might spar one day, I don't know.
We'll see.
Yeah, man. So that's why I'm doing it. You know, just like you challenge yourself on a daily with different things. Many people challenge themselves. And so that's it, man. That's what it's about. You know, we're almost there.
Awesome.
Yeah. So let's get into this, man. Let's get right into this. So we had two big fights last week, and they both were phenomenal, right? So let's talk about Loma versus Nakatani. It was last week on ESPN Plus. Big fight. Like, there was a lot running on this fight. I mean, we're talking rematches with you know, Tail. We're talking like Loma. Is he done? Is he not? So what's up? What is your thoughts on this fight, bro?
I mean, I think that he came out and he showed everybody that he's not done. You know, Nakatani is a game challenger, you know, had only one loss at the time, and that was to Teofimo Lopez. And just Lomachenko just ran through him. We were watching the fight, and we were like, you know, we had the predictions. I had the 7th round knockout. You had the 11th round knockout. It was right in the middle. It was a 9th round TKO. But I was amazed on how he was just able to just run right through him, do whatever he wants. We saw the lateral movement. Most importantly, we saw him start early. We saw him start from the sound of the bell, first round, and he never stopped. He never let off the gas. So that's the Lomachenko that we were used to seeing. And I want to see that rematch now. I'm excited because I'm thinking, you know, Teofimo's dad was, you know, he was at the fight, and I think he was campaigning to get that rematch. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that we get that rematch. Do you want to see the rematch?
Yeah. Everybody wants to see the rematch. I mean, I hope they don't do what Crawford and Spence do, man, but I just keep pulling it off. But let's parallel that real quick. So Tail fought Nakatani.
And
it went 12 rounds, right? Or 10 rounds. Did they fight?
It went 12 rounds, and that was the most criticism that he has gotten in his entire career. He didn't look good to say the least. I mean, he had trouble, you know, he looked sluggish. There was excuses here and there, but the truth is, you know, Nakatani is he's a good fighter, man. You know, you saw what he did against Felix Verdejo. You know, he was losing the fight, came back and won by knockout. Mm-hmm. So you know, he was rangy, he's long, he's tall. I think that sorry about that, my dog.
That's Tail talking to you. That's Tail. Tail's like, hold up, you what you mean?
But I think that was a perfect test to show everybody that Lomachenko's still at that championship caliber, at elite level. And I think that rematch is I think that's what's coming next. So let's just hope for it.
Yeah, I mean, to look at it from the perspective of Loma, right? So I'm thinking Loma's like, look, I'm gonna pick a fighter that he fought, that he struggled with, and I'm gonna dismantle him.
Yeah.
And I think that's what his camp did, to say, look, we destroyed the guy you struggle with. Your win was a what they call it? A fluke. It was a fluke. It was so psychological. This is the thing about these, like the smart camps and the smart managers and the smart promoters are like, look, we're going to put you in there with somebody he struggled with. So that way, when you destroy him, if, you know, they didn't know, but obviously we saw now, I mean, it was complete domination, especially in the end rounds. I mean, I started feeling bad for the guy. And he was working on him. The footwork was phenomenal. But I think that was part of it. I mean, you would know better than me because you're in the boxing world. But, yeah, that's pretty smart.
Yeah. Improved to 15-15-2 now. It's just amazing with 17 fights. You know, this guy is considered one of the all-time greats. Yeah. So I'm always excited to watch him. And I'm sure that everybody else is excited to watch him after that performance. So
yeah. So what do you think? So when do you think that as far as fights, I mean, is it 3 or 4 months before they fight again? It depends. What does like Loma fight 3 or 4 times a year? So when would that fight be if it were?
Yeah. You know, so if you're a busy fighter and you're fighting 3 times a year, you know, it's 4 months in between. But you know, Teofimo still has that fight with Gambosos coming up in August, I believe. Depending on how he does with Gambosos, you know, we might be seeing that fight probably late fall.
Yeah.
Or early winter. So we'll see. Hopefully it's this year. We don't have to wait till next year.
Yeah. We'll see. I mean, like I said, I don't know. I kind of see Teofimo taking some time off after he, in my opinion, beats Gambosos. That's my opinion. But yeah, so there was another big fight. I didn't expect this at all. I mean, I expected what happened in the early rounds of that fight, Davis versus Barrios. That was on Showtime pay-per-view. Mayweather's young stud. I'm not a big Davis fan just because his demeanor, but that's neither here nor there. It's all promotion, I guess. And they're trying to, you know, build these personas. But as far as a fighter, man, that dude's a bully. What's your thoughts on that, man? Because,
yeah, you know, still undefeated, you know, beat a very tough Mario Barrios. He's, what, 25-0 now with 24 knockouts, Tank Davis. So, yeah, it was an exciting fight. The scorecards were even before the knockout came in the 11th round. It was a good fight. You know, there was 2 knockdowns midway through the fight. And just Barrios just took those first 2 knockdowns. And we were like, wait, this guy might be able to pull it off, you know, maybe a split decision. Yeah, but, you know, Tank just put that pressure. What do I always say? Pressure breaks pipes. You know, you can be talented, you could have the skill set, but sometimes that pressure that's put on people can't take it, you know. So it was an exciting fight. I love watching Tank because now he's giving the people. We saw Mayweather go up to the corner, you know, let me see what you're made of, you know, show me what you're made of.
And he said be great.
It'd be great. Yeah. So, he did that. And he got him out of there. And I think Barrios still has a great future in boxing.
Yeah.
He still could be a champ. But I think, right now Tank is at his peak.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Looking back at that fight, you know, I was watching it and I'm thinking to myself, man, like I even watched some of the highlights and some of the, you know, round by round, and Barrios was actually working them. Like, you know, hey, I'm the bigger guy. You're not gonna walk me down. And was catching him. I mean, and Mayweather was true with it. He was like, look, you're down on this unofficial scorecards, and you can see Tank like, how you gonna say that to me? And then Mayweather says, I'm just gonna keep it 100 with you, you know. And that's again, like we said in the other fight, psychological. Right. You can't. Mayweather knows he can't pamper this guy like you know, and then he told him to go be great. And then what happens? It's like history. Like it's like a great moment. You know, he comes and knocks him out with a body shot to the stomach. like area right there. And I'm thinking to myself, like, have you, you know, because obviously you box. So when you get hit in that area, that's not a first of all, it's not an easy spot to hit. In my opinion, I mean, maybe you know better, but what happens to your body at that moment?
You completely, you know, it you could, certain people act certain way, different ways. You know, some people go right to the floor, just like Mario did. Sometimes, you know, it delays, but it all depends, you know, on how hard the shot is thrown, what period of it, where in the fight you're in, if you're late in the fight, early in the fight. But it's definitely the worst place. I'm talking, you know, just my opinion, it's the worst place that you could get hit. You know, you could take headshots, you know, but when you get hit in the solar plex, you know, in that area, it's just like the worst pain. And it just stays there. It just lingers, you know, for a couple minutes. But yeah, it was a perfect place shot, you know. And I just wanted to note this, Barrios, he was 26-0, you know, with 17 knockouts or something like that. This guy wasn't no slouch. He wasn't a slouch at all. He was bigger, you know, he had boxing ability, you know, undefeated. And Tank, you know, he hunted him down and got him out of there. So Tank is the real deal. And I think people at that weight class at 35, 40, they have to watch out for Tank, because right now he's knocking everybody out. So
yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. So is he a four weight division champion now? Is it four weight classes or something?
Four division. Four. And it looks like he could... you know, it looks like he could even be a five, you know. Wow. So depending on who's matched up with at 47, you know, if he decides to. Right now it's a little too early for that, but the way that he's going, man, sky's the limit for that guy.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I know there was a lot of talks with him fighting even the smaller guys, going back down again. That might be interesting too, but... yeah, shout out to him, man. Like I said, but I remember seeing Davis when they first brought him out, you know, after like the 10th or 11th or 12th fight, you know, they start showcasing their fighter, right? You know, the first couple 10, 12 fights, kind of like just getting them ready to get a bigger fight, or, you know, there's levels to it, right? And we talk about it all the time. Good managers, good promoters, good trainers do that. And we're going to talk about a local fighter today that they're doing that finally here too. I remember seeing him, and he was on the biggest stage. I think he was on an undercard, but they interviewed him and he was just shy. He was just a shy kid. And you could tell, like, he didn't know what to say. Like, the moment got to him, like, I'm finally here and I wanted to say all these things, but you could see the growth and even the promotion aspect of it. Now he's more confident when he's after the fights, he's more confident in front of a mic, in front of a camera. And again, there's levels and there's growth with that too. So I look forward to seeing, you know, a lot more fights with him. You know, obviously he's on the Mayweather camp, and they're putting out really good fighters. So that's going to be fun. So let's talk about this other fight. The fights that are coming up. We have three predictions. So those were the two that we just want to kind of recap. There was a lot more other fights, a lot of undercard stuff. But we just want to jump into the predictions, right? We got some fights tonight. So this episode will air in about it, you know, sometime tonight before these fights. But, so let's talk about these fights. Ramirez, undefeated light heavyweight versus Barrera, 12 rounds on DAZN at 10 p.m., man. So tell me about this Ramirez guy. I know you had mentioned that he was somebody's sparring partner.
Yeah, he was Benavidez, or he is Benavidez's sparring partner. You know, he's campaigning at that light heavyweight, you know, top five spots. You know, you have Dmitry Bivol, you have Better Biev. And some, you know, those are some of the names at that light heavyweight, you know, elite champion, first, second, third spot. So he's, you know, he's campaigning at that weight class, at those spots. He's fighting Sullivan Barrera, you know, He's a savvy veteran, you know.
He's a journeyman.
Yeah, he's. Yeah, well, I mean, I wouldn't say.
What do you consider a journeyman? Because we talk about this all the time.
You know what? And we go back and forth with this all the time. So
yeah, go.
I don't consider him a journeyman because his three losses came to Andre Ward, Jesse Hart, and Bivol and Dimitri Bivol.
Yeah.
So those three guys right there, you know, especially Andre Ward, the great Andre Ward.
Oh my God, undefeated.
Right, undefeated.
They say he's coming back too.
Yeah, well, we hope to see him against, you know, Canelo.
He got bad knees.
But yeah, you know, and then Bivol is a champ at light heavyweight. So, you know, those are his three losses. Yeah. So that's the reason I don't consider him a journeyman. But I think he's just, you know, he's a solid veteran, top solid veteran. And I think that Soldo could display his skill in this fight and see what he could do after, depending on his performance, maybe get a title shot after that. But yeah, he's a big, you know, Mexican, and he has good skill. So yeah, tune in for it. I think you'll like his style.
What's your prediction on that?
I think he has the ability to stop him mid-fight.
Mid-fight.
I think it wouldn't be surprising if it goes to the decision.
Yeah.
So I think he pulls it off though.
Yeah, I mean, Ramirez versus Barrera, that's what we're talking about, 12 rounds light heavyweight on days into 10 o'clock tonight. I watched some of his other fights. It's interesting because I didn't know he was a sparring partner. And again, this is why you're the man on this show, Benavidez. And he kind of fights like him. He kind of fights like him. I guess they're partners too, you know, or something to that effect. They probably train in the same gym.
Benavidez talks well about him all the time. Says that he's good work. He's the one that sharpens Benavidez up, and vice versa. So
that's another fighter I want to see more of, man. What's going on with that? Like, is anybody afraid of this guy or something?
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's promotional issues. I'm not sure if it's just people that don't want to, fighters that don't want to fight him. But yeah, it's kind of annoying, you know.
Yeah, I get nervous. Because they don't fight, and then they're in the best years of their life. Like that as a boxer, I would get nervous if I'm not fighting.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to.
Yeah. Time goes by real quickly, you know, and by the time you know it, you're a year without fighting, you know, and then, you know, promotional issues get in the way and all that. So let's just hope he's in the mix pretty soon. That way, we can see him.
Yeah,
fight.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, like you mentioned time, you look at Pacquiao. I mean, I remember watching Pacquiao when he was a young fighter. I remember watching Cotto. I mean, Cotto, those are the best years for me as somebody that I love watching. Those years are done. I mean, he's five years removed from fighting or something like that. Maybe I'm wrong, but a couple of years removed from fighting. And I'm like, man, I felt like just yesterday. So yeah, time flies, especially in the sport. LeBron James. I mean, I remember watching LeBron James. Now he looks like he's father time is taking a toll. So real quick. So let's talk about this interesting fight. Another interesting fight on Showtime. If you're interested to watch it, 15-0 undefeated Colbert versus 12-1 Nayan Bayar Tug. Right, King. What's his name?
King Tug. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, he fought in Allentown. I went to go see that fight because Martino, we're going to talk about Martino here in a little bit. One of our local boxers was fighting at the PPL Center. And this was actually I think it was Showtime as well in Allentown. So what's your thoughts on King Tug? And, you know, he fought Gary Russell, if I'm not mistaken.
He fought Gary Russell. And it was Gary Russell did good work versus him. But he was tough. He was tough. I think that experience and that type of opponent propelled him to, you know, to fight Chris Colbert. He wasn't originally supposed to fight, so it was a replacement, But, you know, he was the next big, you know, big fighter out there. Yeah. You know, he's 12-1. Chris Colbert's 15-0. I think it'll be a good fight. I think Chris Colbert, I think he should pull it off. But King Tug is tough, you know, and depending on what type of pressure he puts on him will determine the outcome of the fight. So, but I think Chris Colbert gets a unanimous decision.
Yeah. I kind of see these guys have been out of action for a while. So it's like, you know, who's hungrier? Who's doing the work? Like, who's doing the work? I think a lot of that stuff has to play as well. You know, I see a lot of young fighters and even fighters that are still coming up. I mean, these guys only have 13, 15 fights, but they got, I'm sure they have tremendous amateur backgrounds. But who put in the work, right? That's a big deal. That's on tonight. Showtime, 12 rounds, super featherweight, 10 p.m. Check it out if you're interested. Obviously,
it's an interim. It's an interim. Sorry to cut you. It's an interim fight. WBO interim
title fight. 12 rounds. Yeah.
Yeah. So should be good.
What's your thought on that, man? They did. When did they come out with these interim? It reminds me of WWF, like Intercontinental Champion.
Yeah. It's just like, oh, you know, somebody vacated or this happened and this boxing committee did this and they have this belt now. It's all over the place, man. Yeah. We always talk about this. We wish that it was like the old days where there was only one belt for every weight division, you know, for every weight class. Mm. But yeah, there's a bunch of belts out there. And so that's that.
Let's see what happens. All right. So that's tonight. Also with Ramirez fighting Barrera, 12 rounds on DAZN, 10 p.m. So let's get into this fight. I know you have mentioned it to me. We'll talk about this. We'll talk about Martino, and then we'll just go into just reminder of some of the fights coming up. Joshua versus Usyk. I mean, I know that Joshua was like ready to fight Fury. That got obviously pushed back because of the Wilder thing in the courts and all that stuff. So you we talked about this earlier, and I want you to share with everybody because I think it's interesting.
Yeah. So we all know that Wilder and the won the arbitration. That's why he's fighting Fury now. So it kind of threw off the whole Anthony Joshua fight. And I've been following Alexander Usyk for a while now. And I've been telling you, I remember telling you this about 2 years ago. Look at this cruiserweight. This guy is dominating everybody at cruiserweight. Yeah. He was a unified and undisputed cruiserweight champion. So he left cruiserweight to fight at heavyweight. He fought Derek Chisora and just completely outclassed him. And for those of you know, who say that Derek Chisora is also a journeyman, I disagree. He has losses to all former champions and or undefeated fighters at the time. So I think that was a good test for Usyk. But yeah, he's a beast, man. He's Lomachenko's father is going to train him. He trained him prior in some past fights. Interesting. So he's reuniting with him to fight Anthony Joshua. So yeah, I like to say that he's the Lomachenko of the big guys.
Tell me that. Cool work and all that.
Good lateral movement, great boxing skill. So don't be surprised if this guy outclasses Anthony Joshua. I mean, I think that the only advantage that Joshua has is power. So if he catches him with his power, I think it's, you know, he could put anybody down with his power.
Yeah.
But as far as boxing skill, Usyk he's one of the guys at that weight class that he could basically outclass anybody when it comes to skills. So keep an eye out for him. I know right now you're not a believer, but when you see him, when we sit down and watch that fight, you know, I want you to look at me and say, damn, you're right about that.
Well, we're going
to
talk about it.
You're looking back at this episode. If I'm wrong, if I'm wrong, you look back at this episode and laugh at it.
Well, we're going to talk about it in the next. After that fight, that fight's scheduled for right now, you know, barring no COVID issues or anything else, September 25th, Saturday, September 25th. I think it's Eddie Hearn on Triller. I think it's Triller. I'm not sure. I try to look it up. But anyhow, that we'll get more of that. They should have a flyer, all that stuff.
Might be on the zone. Yeah.
Okay. Oh yeah. No, Triller's De La Hoya. De La Hoya. That's right. Triller. So De La Hoya's teaming up with Triller. But anyhow, neither here nor there. Saturday, September 25th, Joshua versus Usyk. I say that Joshua wins the fight by knockout. But you could be right. He might outbox him, and I'm a little bit nervous about Joshua's chin. And obviously we saw what Ruiz did. In my opinion, Ruiz was a better boxer than Joshua. So you know, a guy that's
quicker in better hands.
Shape. Yeah, quicker hands, better shape, better foot movement. I mean, you could see it. You saw it in the fight. Obviously in the rematch, he did kind of box him and stayed away and didn't get caught and won the rematch. However, you could be right, man. We will see.
Hey, you know what? And that's a realistic prediction. You know, Anthony Joshua could easily win by KO. That's if he catches him, though.
Yeah.
That's if he catches him clean. But Usyk is that guy with that boxing skill set that it's really hard to hit him. And he's technical. So, you know, we'll visit that.
Yeah, September.
We'll visit that, yeah, when it comes.
So let's talk about one of our local fighters. Coming up July 23rd, 8 rounds. Martino Jules, 10-0, undefeated. And then he's fighting a guy from Armenia. If you look him up real quick, he looked like a bully. You know, he looked strong. He got 2 draws, 10-0, 2 draws. Aram Avigian. That's July 23rd, 8 rounds. Looks like it's going to be in New England, if I'm not mistaken. What's your thought on Martino, man? What his rise is 10, he's 10-0. He's working. We see him in the gym.
Yeah. Martino is an excellent boxer. Pure skill, southpaw, slick. He's destined to be a world champion if he stays on the right path, you know.
Yeah.
And stays training and taking on these tough fights like this. But my prediction is Martino outboxes him. That's what Martino knows how to do. He could outbox anybody. And I've seen it with elite amateurs back in the amateur days. I've seen it in sparring. Kind of whoop me like twice. You know, I was not training, but yeah, Martino, if you're watching this, I got to get that back, you know, but no, Martino is one of the most skilled fighters I've seen. Hopefully we get the chance to see that. I'm excited for Martino.
I mean, especially now with COVID, I mean, I know he's got his family, he's got his kids, you know, not a lot of action. I know he fought in Vegas. I did some interview videos for him and some gym work and as far as going to the gym and shout out to Ian Dio, shout out to Luis Melendez again. Those are in Bethlehem Boxing Club. And then obviously King's Promotion as well, man. They're the local promotions around here. So they're always putting shows up in Jersey and Philly around here and they're really showcasing these young fighters, man. So go to their website, man. Yeah, King's Promotion. I think he's based out of Reading, right?
Reading, yep.
Yeah, so shout out to them. And I think Martino has a bright future. They have a couple good fighters out of there, man, on boxing, Bethlehem Boxing Club or Indio's Gym or Indio's Boxing Gym.
Right.
Nice little gym too, man. I like how the gym is like old school. So you walk in there, you kind of like, hey, it's time to put in work. It's hot. It's ready.
Yeah, that's where champions are built, man. You know, sometimes champions come from the most humble places, you know. Yeah. And that's one of the qualities that I love about Martino Jules. He's a humble kid, yeah. You know. But when he gets in that ring, man, he's a killer. So, yeah. I love it. I love that combination. When those two qualities go hand in hand. So
absolutely,
Shout out to Martino, man, and best of luck. You know, we'll be watching and supporting you.
Yeah, if you want to hear his story, like I said, Irving helped me with some video work as well with him. And we did an interview on him. It's on Socially Connected 360 YouTube channel. Don't forget to subscribe, SC360 or Socially Connected 360 on the YouTube. The interview's there, man. We did one. We did one on him. We did one on Jonathan, Ian Dio's son, his adopted son. Man, these are powerful stories, man. Listen to them, man. Especially if you're a young fighter or you're a young kid, you want to get into boxing, or if you're an older person, you want to be inspired. Listen to these young kids, man. They're fighters. Not only are they fighters in the boxing ring, but they're fighters out here, man. They're taking care of their families. They're going to college. They're working. They're helping out in the gym, helping other young fighters come up, keeping kids off the street. I mean, check out the interviews, man. I'm not trying to plug my own interviews, but by all means, man. Yeah, for real. But don't forget to subscribe as well. Also in our boxing series, we're going to be putting these out. So we have a couple fights coming up still. We just want to remind you, Irv, what's the next couple fights coming up, man?
So we have the Lopez and Cambosos fight coming up, in August. That's the fight that got canceled due to Teofimo, getting COVID. We have that exciting fight coming up. We have Wilder and Fury, obviously.
Yeah, Wilder and Fury. That's July 24th on Showtime.
Yeah, if you can help me out with the dates.
Yeah, I got you. I got it right here. Yeah. You got Jamel Charlo versus Brian Castano, July 17th.
Yeah, that's another fight that's interesting. You know, anytime the Charlo brothers fight, you know, it's exciting to watch, even the build up and the lead up to the fight.
Yeah,
You know, colorful characters. You know, they could hype up the fight, and that's exciting. Sometimes that's more exciting than the fight itself. But I love watching the twins, man.
Yeah, and they be hyping each other up too. The one being in the it's pretty interesting that they're both fighters, and then one is actually in the audience, and you're like, wait a minute, what's going on?
Yeah, exactly.
Are they switching up? Like, hold on, they can switch up and nobody would even know. So Nonito Donaire is also fighting August 14th on Showtime. Manny versus obviously the Spence, probably the biggest fight of the year, man. August 21st, yeah. Fox on pay-per-view, Manny versus Spence. Excited about that one.
Yeah, and to note the Donaire fight coming up, there was some they were going back and forth with their respective camps and threatening to cancel the fight. So I'm not sure if that fight's actually 100%.
I see.
But I'm not sure if that's part of the promotional aspect of things. But when I saw that a few days ago, I was kind of thrown back because I love watching Donaire fight. And it's between fellow Filipinos.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting watching them go back and forth because countrymen usually don't take it personal between each other. So hopefully that fight is still on.
Yeah, we'll see. And then the last fight that we even talked about some of these fights. So if you want to watch our predictions on these fights, our talks on each of these fights, watch our last episode. It's going to be episode one or the first episode. We kind of recapped all these fights, but Benavidez versus Jose.
Uzcategui.
That guy. He's fighting that guy on Showtime August 28th, Benavidez. I can't wait to see him, man. He's such a powerful, powerful boxing figure. Even when you just watch him, man, that dude hits hard.
El Bandera Roja.
Yeah. And then when he talks, like, he knows it too. He's like, these guys don't want to fight me. These guys don't want to fight me.
You've been a fan of that guy for a couple of years now, man. Yeah. I remember him coming up. fighting, and you're like, oh, let's watch Benavidez, man. He's gonna be the next world champ. Yeah, you're right about that.
Yeah, he just—I could tell, like, just his smoothness. Who's that tall guy? Man, I wish I would have brought this up earlier. There's a tall, skinny guy who's rocking it. I forgot his name. He's like real lanky, like really tall, crazy. Anyhow, we'll talk about it next show. He's an up and coming guy. Okay. I love watching as well, but we'll bring that up next. Now he's a young fighter. I don't think he had like 6 fights or something. So yeah. Okay. On that note, yeah, man. So that's the show for today. Obviously, you got 2 big fights coming up. These episodes, we're going to go live. These episodes, they're obviously pre-recorded, but we're going to go live eventually, just so the folks know. We're going to keep going with this boxing series. That's 360. Excited to be on the show with Irving Hurricane Torres. All right. So, yeah, man, stay strong. Like we always say, stay connected. And don't forget to subscribe. Be safe, everybody.